And with that recording in process, we'll invite Rebecca to take over the program. You're welcome to share your screen if you have visual. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
you
Can
got it
everyone
in,
see?
got it in slideshow mode. Well done.
Yes,
Rebecca,
yes.
it's the floor is yours.
Okay. Hello. Good morning, everybody. Nice to see everyone today. Hope
Mine.
everybody is happy, motivated. Things are kind of getting a bit back to normal. School's opening. I know that we've had a lot of energy this week in the schools. It's just so nice seeing the students back and in the classroom. So yes, Bill, I did try to make some connections to the previous presentations. So following on from like Kuntia's presentation about mentoring, and then Fiona's presentation and the discussion that we had about, the importance of bringing these topics into the community and how to do that. So today I would like to share with everyone about community dialogues and about how CFC kind of presents, topics into the community. So that's for today. So the agenda, I'll quickly talk about like the background to CFC community dialogue, how it fits with our gender equity program. Then I'll quickly talk about gender responsive in early learning programs, just to give you some context. And then I'll go through kind of like the design, the format, things to think about when planning a community dialogue, and then finishing the session. So the first thing I'll just delve into what community dialogues mean to CFC to give you some background. So our community dialogues are part of our CFC gender equity program. I don't know. Part of our gender equity program. And this program aims to achieve gender equity, the empowerment of all students to fulfill their potential by raising awareness, educating students, teachers, CFC staff, communities on various gender issues that come up, and then try to look at ways to kind of overcome the challenges and things that the community experience. So our gender equity program uses kind of a multi-stakeholder approach. For trying to achieve gender equity, within the school, within the community. And this means that we try to involve everybody in the process. So this means, students, the teachers, the school principals, but also parents, and authorities in the community. Our gender program, we provide lessons within the school. Lessons, workshops about various topics, and we support junior high and high school through these lessons. We also do student counseling within the school. So students can go and speak to, we call them gender educators. They can go and speak to them about various things, not necessarily just related to gender, but if they're struggling at school. And then outside of the school, we do like the home visits, and then these community dialogues. So a really important part of this program is really building strong relationships with our gender e educators within the school and without of the school. It's really important to make sure that we have the teachers and the parents on board in the program, you know, so that we can all try to support the students. So I'm talking about community dialogue today, and it's related to, you know, the reason why the gender team are responsible for doing that is because they cover, you know, the topics that often have kind of a gender focus, but also the team have the resources and the understanding to cover such topics, and also the connections. They have connections with sort of like other NGOs or like the local authority that they can provide that extra support. And I guess a big part of the community dialogue, we do it through the gender equity program, but we do it in collaboration with our preschool program. So we run these dialogues within our preschool centers. So I'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. Let's go to the next slide. Is it moving for anyone? Oh, there we go.
There we got it.
There we go. Okay. To drive real change, we need to shift attitudes and beliefs about gender equity beyond the classroom. And I think, you know, in the previous presentation with Fiona, I know we had a little bit of discussion, like how important it is to talk about, you know, these big topics within the classroom with the students, but it's also important, you know, to get everyone's buy-in on these topics so that everyone can support each other. In the previous slide, I kind of talked about this multi-stakeholder approach, and this kind of diagram here on the right, you know, aims to show that everybody has a part to play in the education of, you know, these topics. Can't leave out any one of these layers, if you will. We all have a part to play. You know, the community are just as important as the school, as the teacher, all in trying to support and educate the children. So, you know, to really drive real and long-lasting change, we need to include everybody in the process. So all parts of the program need to consider all these different players within, you know, within the school setting and then within the community setting. Schools, I mean, you know, schools are huge, and they are, you know, a site of gender production. You know, students here are starting to accept the norms that are kind of, you know, put on them through the pedagogy, through, you know, mirroring actions from teachers, through the play with other students. They are already starting to engage with, you know, gender norms and gender stereotypes. And the home as well has its part to play in how gender stereotypes are reproduced and what's instilled in the children and what they understand. So a lot of the case, it's without, you know, we're not even understanding what we're doing, but children are already learning this. They're learning this kind of behavior and this attitude and these places. You know, we need to work with both the school and the home to be having the same kind of perspective on that. And that's why community dialogues, you know, they're vital to raise awareness of topics. It's a great opportunity to engage with the parents, to talk about difficult topics as well, but also a place to offer solutions, guidance, and then also an open space for protection for the students, but also protection, you know, for the community if there's any issues or problems coming up. And as well for us, they are important because it's a great way for us to have the parents, the community engaged with the school. We understand how important it is to work with the parents. So really trying to instill that value of education. And then hopefully, you know, this aims to reduce things like violence, you know, discrimination, but then also reducing dropout rates. If we get that buy-in from the parents and that understanding and that support, then we're all working together. Okay, so creating a culture of dialogue. There are many definitions of, you know, what a dialogue is. I guess the main thing is to be aware that it is a form of communication, and it's a very different form of communication to, say, a debate, right? So there's that understanding first. At CFC, we kind of, I don't know if you can move this. We understand it as a creating a safe space for community members to gather, provide the opportunity for exchanging information, discussion, developing suggestions on relevant topics that we talk about. And then these are some kind of buzzwords, if you will, that I think are important to consider. If you do a community dialogue, so open, making sure that you have a very open setting, people feel safe and confident to share their views, to ask questions, confidential, you know, again, creating that safety that people can share and not fear any kind of repercussions after the event. Inclusive, making sure that anybody, you know, can join, any from any kind of background, disability, all these kind of things, trying to make it, you know, an inclusive environment. Active listening, so really trying to engage with what people are saying, listening and engaging, not just sort of listening and not doing anything about it, but really trying to take on what people are saying. Collaborative, you know, not just CFC kind of doing this, but making the parents, the community also feel engaged, and like local authority, all these kind of players, and then learning, you know, sort of learning from one another, learning what people are saying, respecting what everybody is saying, okay? And then just to give you a quick overview, this is kind of how like we at CFC run the dialogues. So pre-COVID, we would normally run about 15 dialogues a year. And this is, you know, done through our CFC preschool centers. This changes depending on the topics, depending on, you know, the access to the centers. The sessions are normally between 1 to 2 hours. And then the topics which we discuss between the gender equity program, the preschool program, and the assistants that are in the community, we kind of come up with the topics, what's needed, what are we seeing in the community, what can we talk about, and then we normally cover topics such as like gender-based violence, discrimination, child rights, and then the important one, value of education, which is always a key theme. But again, this can always change depending on the situation and if, you know, new things come out. So that's always a thing to bear in mind. And then these are kind of like the rules that we follow in a dialogue. So value and respect each other, no discrimination, equal opportunity for expression, and loving children equally. All right, so let's move on to the next section, which is going to quickly talk about gender responsive in early learning programs. So ELP is early learning program. Okay, so there are different kind of approaches to gender, tackling gender topics. You've got things like gender being gender sensitive, being gender responsive, being gender transformative. There are lots of different ways. And it's, again, really thinking about your situation, the context you're working in, and the resources that you have that you can actually deal with these kind of things. We try to be as like gender responsive or transformative as possible. But in most cases, it's gender responsive, which kind of considers gender norms, gender roles, gender inequalities, the stereotypes, and kind of really actively working to reduce these inequalities. Again, both within the school and without the school. Some examples how you can do this. Teachers are trained in gender equality, so how they can instill that in their classroom through their teaching, through the curriculum, through the activities that they have in the classroom. Parenting programs on gender equality, which is what I'm kind of talking about today through the community dialogues. And then gender responsive learning materials. So like everything that is within the classroom. Just to give a bit of context why we work with the early learning program, our preschool program. And that's because, generally by the age of three, children are already starting to develop, gender identity, through play, through mirroring the behaviors they see from their parents, but also depending on what age they start preschool or kindergarten, through that as well. It's already starting really, really, really young. And then when they do go into the school setting, teachers are starting to influence this, right? Teachers have a huge influence on the gender identity that students create within the school. And then schools also often reproduce gender inequality as well. Often case without knowing, there's just those kind of stereotypes, what is a boy's role? What is a girl's role? Even in thinking about, pictures in a book, what is the girl normally doing? What is the boy normally doing, right? Those kind of things are kind of always reproduced and the children are always exposed to. And so preschool and early learning programs, is a powerful force of where gender inequality can start. From that early age. And that's why it's important for us to really start with our preschool program to try and, step in at that level and try to change it as much as possible. Our preschool, as already mentioned, it already engages with parents, with communities. So it's already the perfect opportunity for us to just jump in and use those sessions that are already in the community. And the program is positioned, our preschool program, to impact the gender norms with the families, with the communities. And again, going back to, everyone being involved, the reason is because if everybody can learn together, parents, teachers, everybody's sharing the same kind of beliefs and attitudes, then students don't feel alone. If they are learning it and their parents aren't, then they might face backlash or, you know, conflict if they try to, you know, learn what they're learning and people aren't agreeing with them. So that's really important that everyone can be learning together. And why we collaborate our gender equity program with the preschool program to raise awareness about these gender equity issues for everybody. Okay. So I'm now going to quickly talk about the design. I'm going to design format and pieces. So this is really just focused now on the actual doing of the community dialogue. These are some points to think about if you want to host one. But again, what I'm saying is very kind of relevant to CFC. You know, these things depend on, you know, many things. The capacity, like what's your capacity of hosting a meeting, the space that you have available, the number of beneficiaries that you might have. These are all things that might influence the way that you do a dialogue, as well as budget, of course. Just some pointers to think about, kind of obvious, but things that you definitely need to be doing. So firstly, you know, I keep saying involving everybody. So before you do the dialogue, just make sure that you confirm with all the relevant stakeholders, that the dialogue is happening. For us, that's, you know, the gender equity team, the preschool team, but also local authority, the village chief, just making sure that everybody's kind of on the same page. But also it's important in case you need to get information, you know, like contact information, who you can direct people to if they are having a certain issue in the community. So for example, you know, if we are having a dialogue about violence, gender-based violence, then we might have some information about contact numbers if they are experiencing that, or they know someone who is experiencing that, or try to chat with other kind of NGOs who are more experienced in this area, and kind of direct them in that way. With every activity that we do, having a goal, so defining the goal for the dialogue, you know, what are you aiming to accomplish? What is the aim of the discussion that you wish to have? And what are their specific issues or demands of the community? Okay. Selecting the facilitator and assisting staff. So I use the word facilitator. You know, this is a dialogue, and so it's not kind of a teaching space. It's more of, you know, an open space for everybody to be discussing a dialogue. So we want to make sure we have a person who can facilitate that, asking questions, steering people in the right way. And I'll go, the next slide actually talks about some things that a facilitator can have, but it's important to make sure you have the right person. And also that person can build a good rapport, good relationship with the participants, but also a good relationship with all the stakeholders involved too. Selecting participants, who are your beneficiaries? You know, what is the topic? Who is it important for? For us, we already have the participants. Because we have the preschool program, we have the parents in the centers already. So that's, again, why we do it. It's already there. We don't need to create something new. We kind of just go into the center. They already have the session. They already have the participants. But different topics are important to different people. So just thinking about that. Selection of location and time. might not seem big, but it is pretty big when you're, you know, trying to schedule something with parents. To make a dialogue successful, you want to create a safe, safe place, a place that's easy for people to access, but also a neutral place. So there's no kind of power imbalances there, and everyone's kind of, you know, equal in the dialogue. We already have the centers, so we already have that space. It's quite easy. People know it. We have the assistants in the preschool centers already. So that's easy for us. And then the time. So obviously adults, parents, community members, they're busy. They've got work to do. They've got things to look after. You know, they've got stuff going on. So it's really important to match, you know, the time with what's going on in the community so that people will actually come and feel happy to come. We follow the schedule already that exists in the preschool program. So that's pretty easy for us. And then depending on the topic, you know, as with anything, preparing materials, preparing a rough lesson plan. I mean, as it's a dialogue, it can go in any direction, but it's always good to kind of have certain questions prepared. If it goes in the wrong direction, having some activities prepared, if nobody is talking or feeling open, just being as prepared as possible. And then facilitator skills. I found this, got the link at the bottom if anybody kind of wants to read more about it. But here are just some of the things that are quite useful for a facilitator to have in a community dialogue. So reflecting, clarifying. So being able to kind of, someone says something, make that point clear so that everybody can understand. Summarize, shifting focus. So again, if someone starts talking, you know, when people can talk, they can talk and talk and go on to different things. So being able to kind of bring it back to the main focus. This is really important, asking probing or follow-up questions. So, you know, when someone is talking, being able to either try to ask questions to go into more detail or try to ask more follow-up questions from the whole discussion, that can really be useful, you know, for the whole group that's there. Managing conflict. I hope nobody has any conflict in a dialogue, but sometimes there can be different opinions. There can be different perspectives. And again, that's okay. It's an open space, but it's being able to manage the conflict, that it doesn't go too far, that we can have that space and people respect different views. And it's okay. It doesn't go into violence or anything like that. And then using silence, you know, we don't always have, the facilitator doesn't always have to be talking. There is also power in being quiet, listening, and letting the participants speak. The format for dialogue is very kind of similar to, you know, a lesson plan. But you've got your introduction. So this is really setting the ground. This is also a really good place for like introducing any rules, ground rules that you might have. So in a previous slide, I talked about, you know, everybody respecting each other and no discrimination, those kind of things. So really good to just set that out at the beginning. Warm-up activity, depending how many people you have, if they already know each other or don't know each other, it's a good way for people to feel, you know, like do something happy, let them relax a little bit, and then go on into the important topic, the main discussion. So normally we have the facilitator. So as you can see in this picture, we have one of our gender educators, you know, at the front. She's kind of presenting the idea or the concept, and then we try to open it up to discussion. And sometimes people don't want to talk. They feel shy or nervous. And so it's always good to have extra resources. So here, like, we're using posters and things like that to kind of engage the participants, but also role play. Role playing is really great, especially if it is a topic that people don't really want to talk about, then it's kind of easier to go through it doing role plays. So getting people to play different people in a situation and them having to, you know, work out how to deal with the situation and then them doing it to the rest of the group. And that normally stimulates discussion, questions, and things like that. And then problem solving, community requests. So, you know, if there's anything that can be solved, or this is also the opportunity to provide any resources. If the community, you know, also have any requests, which they often do, about things they want to talk about or things going on, and then kind of wrapping up the session. Some other things to think about. Try to be quick. Seating arrangements. So just as important as like location and time, but also how you set out the participants. Okay. This can also impact how successful the dialogue will be. So here I've just shown two examples. We've got like the circle example and then a U-shape example. So both of these are kind of collaborative, a little bit professional, but they have that impersonal format. So it's not too formal for them, okay? In the circle format, everyone's kind of equal, they can all see each other. In the U-shape, the facilitator, you know, is at the front and has a good space to act as a moderator, but this is also a good place to do role playing as well. As you can see in the middle, everyone can kind of observe and see. This obviously relates to how much space you have and how many participants. The downside of these two is that it's only for fewer numbers, okay? If you have a lot of participants, then, you know, normally kind of classroom layout is what people do. And that's just, you know, what the situation is. But again, just things to think about if you are preparing. And then, of course, the big one for everything, monitoring and evaluating. So we want to see, you know, what is the impact of the community dialogues. Everybody, you know, all NGOs, you know, do something different when it comes to M&E. So I've kind of just made it broad and things that people can do. So you can do descriptive data, you know, like attendance, number of participants that are joining, the number of events, number of dialogues that you can do. And then you can go a little bit deeper. You can do dialogue observation. So if you have like an assistant in the meeting, they can be observing the dialogue, you know, writing all the notes down, how it's going, what people are saying, and then stakeholder survey. So at the end of the dialogue, you can even have, you know, like a feedback survey, but then you can also go deeper and do like a stakeholder survey, you know, after and try to understand how it's going, what's the feeling, what's the learning, and if anything can be changed. And then to conclude, tailoring your messaging. So making everything context specific. Every community has different concerns. And so just making sure that you understand that and you can speak directly to the people that you're speaking to. Promote positive as well as negative messaging around gender equity. Of course, highlighting the benefits and the progress, but also, again, talking about those risks of gender equity, the topics that maybe seem taboo. And so really just trying to promote both positive and negative things. And then community dialogue is also a great way to collect data, to monitor, to talk with people in the community, try to understand attitudes, beliefs of families, communities, and everyone. So they're useful for more than just actually the dialogue. And that is all. Thank you very much. Au contraire. So I will now, if anybody has any questions, I also have Lai here to join as well from CFC, if anybody has any questions.